What's going on, everyone? Kevin Wagstaff here, one of the owners and founders of Spectora. You're listening to Spectora Spotlight, and this week we have John Vaden from Vaden Property Inspections. We met him down in Texas. He is a Spectora user. We met him down at the Tapria InterNACHI conference down in Bryan, Texas. Great inspector, just all around great guy. He's involved with Tapria on their board of directors. So he's got some insight there, and he just is really helpful to the industry as a whole. So I think it's a great episode for new inspectors or inspectors within their first couple of years to just hear his experiences and kind of what he thinks. So hope you enjoy. How's everything going, man?
That's going well, man. Going well, staying busy and trying to figure out how to get everything done that I need to get done. So that's a good thing.
Yeah, surely. Thanks for joining us on the podcast. I know we just saw each other, what was that now, about a month ago down in Texas at the conference?
Yeah, that's probably about right.
How'd the conference go for you, just from your vantage point?
Man, it went well. It went well. A lot of good classes, meeting new people. It really went well. We had a great turnout, and definitely can't complain about that. And everybody just worked well together. The vendors were easy. I don't know. It all seemed to flow like it should. I couldn't ask for a better deal, better conference or turnout. I mean, food was good. Visiting with everybody was good. Information that we got was good. It's fantastic. I'm glad you guys could make it, because it was great to meet you guys face to face. That was awesome.
Yeah, you know, and it's like so many of our users are just a little bubble, you know, that we share a few jokes with. But then when you can shake someone's hand and actually see their demeanor and their smile, I get why it's such a relationship business. And for those that don't know, we're talking about the Tapria conference down in Bryan, Texas. It was an InterNACHI Tapria event, right? A joint event?
That's correct.
Okay. Yeah. Great event.
Yeah. It was a good deal. And Tapria is what our slogan is we're the Texas connection to InterNACHI.
Okay.
And so we work real closely with InterNACHI. We have new inspectors. If you join InterNACHI, I'm sorry, if you join Tapria, you get an InterNACHI membership. And then if you're already an InterNACHI member, you just call into Tapria and you automatically have a membership. Vice versa. You know, if you're already a Tapria member, you get a InterNACHI membership. And if you're InterNACHI, you get a Tapria membership. So there's not, you don't have to pay a double fee there.
Interesting.
You get all the benefits. Yeah, you get all the benefits of InterNACHI. It's just it's a really good setup, and everybody seems to really care about the industry, care about the people that we talk with. All the board members care about the industry. We're real strong into the into working with the real estate commission and standing up for ourselves when we need to, and picking up on the things that on the changes that are fixing to be made. The changes that will be made throughout time. You know, we're there, and we try to give our members firsthand. What's the word I'm looking for? Like, we want to let them know as quick as we can what's going on, you know?
Yeah.
Keep everybody informed, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
Especially in a state like Texas, where there are different requirements, which we'll get into in a bit. The food at the conference was great. The Tapria members that we came into contact with, yourself, Paul, everyone was great. It was a good time. So anyone in Texas, next year, get that on the calendar.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So yeah, tell us a little bit about yourself for those that don't know. Tell us a little bit about your business, how long you've been around, where you're located out of.
All right. Well, I'm John Vaden. I've got Vaden Property Inspections, and I'm out of Kilgore, Texas. Kilgore is east of Dallas, about 2 hours on 20. And I'm right in between Dallas and Shreveport, Louisiana.
Okay.
And anyway, I serve the East Texas area. I like to tell people I work for food. I'll go wherever somebody tells me to go when it's time for an inspection. But anyway, this area stays pretty busy. I've stayed pretty busy, and I know that a lot of the other inspectors that I talk to have also. Our area is pretty big on oil field. So that's one downside. When the oil field goes down, we kind of have a little bit of a lull in home inspections. But other than that, we stay pretty steady.
Nice.
I've been in business for about 3.5 years. And I tell you, I wouldn't trade it for anything. I've really enjoyed it. Enjoy helping people out. Enjoy the majority of the realtors I work with. I enjoy them. Majority of the clients I work with, I enjoy them. You know, you're always going to have one or two that you don't really, you know, G-haul with.
Yep.
We like to say. Mm-hmm. But I love this job. Love the ability to, I like the ability to be able to be my own boss, but I also like the ability to just feel like you're helping. You know, you feel like you're making a difference. If you're out there doing what you do the job the way you want it done, you would want it done for you.
Right.
You can accomplish a lot, and you're giving your client their money's worth. And my outlook is, and one of the things I have on my website is, I want to be your neighbor. You know, I'm going to do the job as the inspector, but I really do want these people to be neighbors to me and friends, you know?
Yeah.
So it's, you know, it's building relationships. It's every inspection you do, you build a new relationship. And, if you play your cards right, you might get a Christmas card out of the deal.
I love it. I love it. You know, 3.5 years in the business, that's a big accomplishment, because from my vantage point, you know, over the years we see inspectors come and go, and usually getting out of that first 6 months or a year, hitting that first slow season is the hardest. Do you remember that time for yourself when you thought to yourself, gosh, I'm turning this into a nice little business. I think I'm going to be all right.
Yeah, I tell you what, I worked another job. I was a pipe fitter before I did this. And I was working that job, and I was doing inspections Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. We were working 40 hours at work. And so I was doing inspections Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And it was, you know, 1 week I'd have an inspection on Friday and Saturday, and then the next week I wouldn't have anything. And then, you know, so on and so forth. Well, then I got to a point where I was having to tell people, I can't get to that till Friday next week. And they'd have to move on to somebody else. And I was thinking, golly, I got to make a decision. And I wound up, they had a layoff at work, and they were mad at me because I wasn't willing to work weekends when I had an inspection. And, told them they had told me 40 hours a week, and so I was scheduling around that. And anyway, best thing that ever happened to me. It was kind of a, you know, it was kind of a punch in the gut when you've been somewhere for 10 years and then they lay you off. You know,
sure.
Yeah. I survived 5 layoffs out there, but when I started my own business on the side, they didn't like that too much. So, but I got severance pay and was able to. Move along and get started. You know, it was kind of the springboard that I needed, and I'd kind of been praying, you know, that I would find my way, because I've got four kids, and it's scary when you've got four kids and you're thinking about making a change, like being self-employed, you know. But
yes.
But it all panned out.
And that's great.
I had a friend of mine tell me one time that after his third year, he said, "You just wait." He said, if you can hold out and you can make it through to your third year, he said, that's when the floodgates open up. And
interesting.
I was like, man, I hope they hurry up and open up. But I'm going to tell you something. I hit 3 years, and I've been scheduled into the following week every week this year.
That is great.
I've had at least one or two inspections scheduled ahead of time, into the next week. By Thursday, I'll have one or two inspections scheduled, and sometimes more. But I've had a couple of weeks where I've had the whole week booked up a week in advance, you know. So it just, that third, he's right, that third, he was right, that third week, I mean, that third year, it's like you've got your name out there, people know who you are, and they start running with you.
And they know you're going to be around. They know you're going to be around. You know that.
That's right.
Magic number. Year three.
Yeah, year three. And I tell you that I've gained 5 or 6 realtors just off of Spectora's report.
Oh man, that's amazing to hear. We love hearing that.
I'm telling you, man. You guys are doing. You guys are doing a fantastic job.
We appreciate that.
Yeah, no problem. You've saved me time. You've made my reports look way better. I mean, I really pay attention to detail as far as writing my reports. So I don't look like, I mean, I am from East Texas. Well, I'm from West Texas, but I live in East Texas, and I don't want my reports to look like a hillbilly did the report.
Right.
You know, so I really take time to do my reports, and a lot of us do, but y'all made it so much easier your report, I get the comments put in there, and your report does the rest of the work. And it has saved me so much time. I love the being able to link things. Mm-hmm. I like to link YouTube videos to different comments that I have, like a door swinging shut. I like to link a YouTube video to that comment, where they can click on a YouTube video and it'll show them step by step how to bend a hinge pin and stick it back in the door to keep it from swinging shut.
So helpful.
You know?
Yeah, so helpful.
And yeah. And it's just a great thing. I mean, I can tell somebody how to do it, but they don't get it until they see it done. And so I can go in and just look that stuff up and go ahead and link it into my comments. And it's great.
And kudos to you for utilizing the tools. I think inspectors don't utilize that enough to link off to helpful videos, because homeowners need that and they use it and they love it. You know, they may leave you good reviews just because you gave them a video that helped them fix something, you know?
Right. You never know. And it's fantastic. And linking things for your website. I've got a deal about like mechanical systems, about mm-hmm. what the expected age of a mechanical system is. I've got that on my website so people can look at it. Well, I've linked over to my website.
Smart.
So when they click that link, it bumps my website. And so everybody see, you know, I mean, I get another hit on my website if they look at that deal. So it's just really cool how you can bounce things off a different, you can bounce things off of your website and nobody even realizes they're doing it, but it's getting you more hits on your website and you're good to, you know, mm-hmm. it makes things better for you.
I'm always preaching that it's good for SEO. Yeah. Create these assets on your website and link people there. It just makes you look that much more credible and authoritative as a resource for them. So love that you're taking advantage of that. You mentioned the 3 years. What advice would you give to new inspectors, you know, across the country that are inside of that 3 years, that to get there? What did you learn in those first 3 years?
Let's see. I'm going to say this, and I may not be supposed to, but I'm going to say that you got to learn how to bite your tongue, and you've got to learn how to learn how to communicate. That's the biggest thing that I see in a lot of the inspection industry, whether it be reports or it be just communicating with the client. I've worked with guys that I worked with a lot of fantastic guys. I've went on some inspections early on. Okay, early on, when you're getting your inspector license, when you've just got licensed, the best thing to do, if you can find somebody that'll let you ride with them and learn how they're doing things, because they don't really teach this stuff at school. They should, but it's hard to run, you know, 40 or 50 people through and teach them exactly how to inspect the house, you know? So it's nice to get out there with somebody real world and actually watch them do an inspection and take advantage of that. If you have somebody that you can go with, take advantage of it every chance you get. If you don't have an inspection that day, just go and ride along with them, you know, for the experience. I mean, if they'll let you go, if you get somebody that says, yeah, I'll let you ride along with me for X amount of dollars, you need to find somebody else, because mm-hmm. they're not looking to better the industry. They're looking to better their pockets.
Yeah.
And that's not right. You know, that's somebody you, in my opinion, that's somebody you don't even want to learn from, because they're not worried about the client or the industry. They're worried about themselves. And that's not fair. It's not fair. It's not right. I've helped some inspectors, but I've been helped more than I'll ever be able to help anybody else. You know, I'll do my best to help people out, but these older guys that I've worked with that have retired now, I mean, I have about three of them that have retired on me, but they helped me out. They didn't care about themselves. You know, I mean, they didn't care about lining their pockets. They cared about helping me succeed. Mm-hmm. And that's what you want. That's what you want. And if you're part of an organization, say, I'm strong into Tapria, so I'm a big Tapria supporter, InterNACHI supporter. You've got groups in Texas. You've got Terry. You've got ASHI, the American Association of Home Inspectors. If you can get in a group like that, I mean, of course, I'm partial to Tapria and InterNACHI, but if you can get into any kind of group like that, Facebook has Inspector Brotherhood. You know, if people could get into that, that'll help you learn a lot. You read the forums, read the posts that people put on there, and some people ask questions that seem silly to a seasoned inspector, but when you just got out of school, there's things that you haven't ever seen before. And we've got more and more people that are getting their inspector license that have never done any type of building or anything like that. And
true.
And I think that you need to do the best you can to build your knowledge of a structure and all the components inside of a house. Build your knowledge as much as you can. I don't care if you were a greeter at Walmart, and that's what you did your whole life. You can do this. You just have to gain the knowledge. You just have to put yourself in a position to learn. And that's what it's all about. It's just learning. And it's a great job. It's a great life. It is kind of hard to get started, but once you get past the whole deal of being nervous about talking to realtors and putting your name out there, you can make something out of it.
Yeah, surely you have. You've done a good job. So, speaking of agents, like, what is your general approach in dealing with agents or meeting new agents?
I've got a Facebook page, and I put a lot of stuff on Facebook. And I'll share it on my LinkedIn also, because I've got a lot of realtors on LinkedIn. So I'll go ahead and kind of combine the two. If I post something on Facebook, I go ahead and copy and paste it over onto LinkedIn. And that kind of gets me some hits of, you know, people looking at my stuff. I like the face-to-face approach. I don't necessarily, there's a lot of people that say, oh, you gotta bring candy and you gotta bring cupcakes and you gotta do all that stuff. There's, I've tried that and I felt like I just wasted my money. I want them to be happy that I'm there, but in the big scheme of things, I really feel like if you go in there and you say, hey, this is me. I'll tell you my approach is I go in there and I say, hey, my name's John Vaden. I'm with Vaden Property Inspections. You know, I know that you probably have some inspectors that you use and that you've used for years. And if your inspector is busy and he can't get to you, I would love a shot. You know, I'm not trying to take the place of your inspector, but give me a shot and maybe we can work together more and more, you know, and it tends to work. It breaks the ice. You know, there's a lot of people that say we don't have enough inspectors.
Yeah.
And we need more. And that's true. I mean, we've got, see, in Texas, I think the last thing I heard was we've got I think it's 130,000 some odd realtors that are licensed, and don't quote, I mean, here I am on this podcast, don't quote me on that, but it's something around 130,000 realtors and 3,500 inspectors.
Wow.
So there's a lot of business to be had out there. You know, I mean, not everybody's selling every day, but there's the inspection industry. What worried me the first time I went into a TAPREA meeting, I told my wife when I left the house, I said, well, here I go. I'm fixing to go into the lion's den, you know, with all my competitors. I got in that meeting and everybody was super helpful. I mean, I hadn't got my license in the mail yet. I went to my first meeting right before. I think I got my license the next Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody was super helpful. Still are super helpful. You know, if I have a question, I utilize the group of people that I'm around, and that's the beauty of an organization, of an inspector organization, is that we can bounce off each other. And if you stay out there, I mean, there is a cost to that. I mean, there's a money deal to being part of an association, but mm-hmm. I really feel like it's the best money that you'll ever spend. And, you know, you can spend a lot of money in advertising, waste a lot of money in advertising that you could spend getting into an association and getting be part of a brotherhood. And that's what it is. It's not a dog eat dog deal like I thought it was going to be. It's a, hey, let's help each other out, because I may not have ever seen this and you may have. And I mean, I've worked with some inspectors 17 years, you know, they've been doing this 17 years and longer, and they'll call and they'll say, hey, have you ever seen anything like this? And just so happen, I'll have seen it before. And I'll say, hey, this is what this is.
That's great.
17 years, you know, 17 years, they never had seen it. And, you know, and here I am 3.5 years and I've seen it twice, you know, and figured out what the cause of it is. But that doesn't happen often, but it can happen. So just know, you know, so those new inspectors just need to know that it doesn't matter how long you've been in business. You may run into something somebody hadn't ever seen that's been in business forever. And here you are a newbie, but you did your research and you found out what the cause of this was or why this is wrong. And you can help them out too. So it's not just them constantly helping you out. It's all of us working together, helping each other out.
I love it. And I think the forums sometimes can paint a picture of people not wanting to help their competition or not wanting to train their competition.
That's, That's exactly right. I mean, I've seen a lot of hateful things in those forums, and I'm like, what is wrong with you people? You know, just because you haven't ever seen this before, you know, they haven't ever seen this before, doesn't mean, you know, you weren't born knowing how to talk and knowing how to read. Everybody's got to learn.
Exactly.
You know, you put your pants on one leg at a time, just like I do.
Yep. Yep. And that's, I'm so glad to hear that you found kind of a group, and Tapria sounds like they have a great community. I'm personally very proud of Spectora's user group. For the most part, everyone's in there helping each other. They're keeping a sense of humor mm-hmm. about life. You know, cause at the end of the day, it's all going to be okay. You know, we're all helping each other and we should have fun doing it.
That's right. You know, and in the Spectora stuff, I don't know that I've ever seen anybody be ugly to somebody else doing that, you know, talking about different things. I'm sure at some point it's happened, but I just haven't seen it.
Well, Casey cracks the whip on them if they do. We tell them, hey, we're not going to handle it. It's not what this is about. You know, we're going to treat people well.
That's right. That's right. And that's what you need to do. You know, treat people. If more people would treat other people like they want to be treated, we would have a whole lot better world. I mean, you know, and I mean, that's kind of cliche, I guess, but
right?
It's the truth, you know? I mean, I've witnessed it, you know? I mean, just like I say, with the Tapria thing, I mean, these people, the majority of these people, now there's a few here and there, you know, in every group that are going to be kind of aggravating.
Right.
But you have the majority of the people they treat you like they want to be treated. And then we can all just help each other out. You know, I feel like I'm singing a 70s song, you know, but it's just one of those things, you know, I mean, they're, you know, I tell anybody, if you want to ask me a question, I'm open to ask a question. You can get on my Facebook page and ask me a question. Go to John Michael Vaden, John Vaden. I've got two Facebook accounts, and then Vaden Property Inspection. You got any questions on home inspections? If I don't know the answer, I'll find it out. And I'll help anybody that's out there, because, you know, I wouldn't be where I'm at right now if I hadn't had people help me. So why not help the next guy? You know, I've always, in my whole working life, I've always had the mentality of make it easier on the next guy, you know, no matter what I was doing. If I was pipe fitting, if I was welding, if I was doing remodel work, you know, whatever I did, I always tried to leave it where it was easier on the next guy. So they weren't having to figure out what I had done, you know, or figure everything out for themselves, you know. I'd even go as far as leaving a note for somebody on night shift if I was working day shift.
Yeah.
You know, because that's just, I don't know. It's just right. It's just, in my way of thinking, it's just the right thing to do. And, so if you're new, feel free to send me a message on Facebook anytime you want to. If you're not so new, you can send me a message on Facebook. If you want to cuss me out, that's fine too.
Yeah. We'll drop all your contact info in the description so anyone can get a hold of you. Looking ahead to 2019, yeah. What excites you about your business in 2019? Like, what are you aiming to do? What goals do you have?
2019 is, I'm really looking forward to getting more certifications. Mm-hmm. Really, really get into, I'd like to get a mold certification. I don't have that yet. Okay. You know, I've considered the, wood destroying insect certification, but I really feel like that, those guys do that every day, and I'm just going to let them do that. A lot of inspectors say I'm leaving money on the table, but I feel like that they do that every day. They know everything they're supposed to look for, and I'll let them tend to that. You know, I'm looking to, you know, I mean, I want to grow business even more in the next year. And, I'll be honest with you. I want to learn everything there is for Spectora to teach me as far as how to utilize this software, to its full extent. I found a lot of really cool things, but I know it can do 10 times more than what I'm letting it do for me.
Yeah, absolutely. And,
you know, so I really want to play with that. I mean, it sounds silly, but I'm looking forward to just educating myself more and more this next year. And, I've considered taking on another inspector. It's really hard for me to do because I like to know exactly how things are done.
Right.
And you know, everybody, it doesn't matter if you have a strict training program, everybody is going to do something different than the way you want it done. So if I want to do that, I'm going to have to learn in 2019, I'm going to have to learn how to let go a little bit.
Yep. Yep. You know?
But anyway, I'm not necessarily flying by the seat of my pants, but I know that I want to do more on educating myself and helping other people out, helping other inspectors. Looking forward to next year's career conference. Looking forward to the schooling that we have with Tapria. We have a lot of schooling around the state where if you're a Tapria member, you get free continuing education classes. And I say free, you do pay for your membership. But when you look at how much you pay for classes, if you're not part of an association, you're paying the same money and you get a support group out of the deal. Yeah. You know? So that's my deal. My thoughts on that.
Don't forget you got to make it to the InterNACHI conference in Denver or in North Denver.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Hey, and anybody that can, I'm chomping at the bits to get to the House of Horrors.
Yeah.
I want to go see that so bad. I watch videos on it. My wife's like, what are you doing? Watching videos on House of Horrors? And she says, you got one of those right here. You don't have to.
Yeah.
She likes to pick on me. She's like, when are you going to fix all the stuff that's wrong with our house?
Like, yeah, right.
When I get done fixing everybody or telling everybody what's wrong with theirs, you know.
And we're gonna have a pretty cool Spectora users event out here as well during that week. So that'll be another cool thing to look forward to. So for anyone,
awesome. That would be awesome. Yeah, I'm you know, another thing I would like to. I'm really looking forward to talking to some of these new inspectors and seeing how, seeing what programs they're leaning towards, try to steer them towards Spectora. I'm going to have to go somewhere away from where I'm at to steer them towards Spectora so I can be the only one that's using the program here, you know?
But yeah, I hear you. And speaking of next year, we'll talk off the record on some marketing strategies for you. I'll have some ideas for you of how we can kind of use the report and the tools to market better and kind of get more agents.
Okay. Yeah, that sounds great. Oh man, I'm going to tell you something that the realtors love and which you probably already know this, but that inspection tools, is that what it's called?
Yeah. The repair request.
Yeah, the request builder, man, they love that thing. And I love that. One, I love that they love it, but I love looking at it. You know, I'm like, I go through there, I get my report sent out, and then I start doing the request builder, and I'm like, this is so freaking cool. I mean, how come nobody else has done this? You know, I mean, I haven't seen it done before. And I really think that's, I like how you guys are looking at things for us, but you're also looking at things for the realtors.
Right.
And it's just great. Just great.
Well, we appreciate you. You know, our job is to, you know, get you guys more business, because if you guys stay in business, then we stay in business and everyone's happy. So, that's who we're looking out for.
Yeah.
So let's shift gears a little bit. Tell us a little bit about your role with Tapria. So you're on the board of directors, correct?
Yeah, I'm on the board of directors. I'm a member at large. So that means that I don't have as much responsibility as everybody else does, except for getting stickers during a conference for y'all to put on. But I've been on the board for, I guess I've been on the board for about a year.
Okay.
And it's really a cool thing. We talk about everything that that the real estate commission's doing and things to make it easier on inspectors. One thing that Tapria is doing is we're showing a presence at the meetings that they have for the inspector advisory committee and the commissioners meetings and stuff like that. We're really trying to get out there, excuse me, and make sure that our presence is known, and we're fighting for the industry. There's a lot of things that have been good intentions. That the real estate commission has had good intentions, mm-hmm. but it has been, it's some of these things are detrimental to the inspection industry. And so we're there to try to stand up for our inspectors in Texas, to make sure that our insurance rates don't go up, to make sure that we don't have unnecessary, not restrictions, but unnecessary additions to our liability, basically.
Right.
There's a lot of things that they're trying to push to make it where inspectors have a greater liability than they should. You know, not that we don't, I mean, we definitely have a liability on us, and we need to do our job to the best of our ability. And I feel like if you're doing things the way that you want them done for you, you're going to save yourself a lot of heartache. Every time I go to a class, I think, oh my God, what have I done? Why did I get into this? You know, because there's a lot of gloom and doom that people talk about in these classes. But honestly, if you do your job the way you're supposed to do it and the way you would want it done for you, I can't see that you're going to, yeah, you're always going to have that one person that you're going to have a problem with. But as long as you're doing it how you would want it done for you, you really are not going to have anything to worry about. You know, you understand what I'm saying?
Completely. I think that the fear in the industry as a whole, and I have also seen it more so in Texas because of the report and the TREC format. Obviously there's two sides to it, right? There's like the, you know, fiduciary responsibility or like liability of missing something, that it's just gonna, the fear is going to be there. But I do feel like sometimes if you talk to people and communicate with them and they like you, they're much less likely to sue you. And so that's kind of the
exactly right. I mean, communication, people think that writing the report is 90% of the job. Communication is 90% of the job.
Yes. Preach.
You know, 5% is doing the work at the house. The other 5% is working off of whatever program you use to do your reports. And then the rest of it is communication, because if you can't communicate with somebody and get them to understand what you're saying, you're going to have nothing but problems. Because it's like texting, you know, I tell people, I'm like, call me. If you have a question on the report, call me. Because if you, Sorry, I'm getting another call, and I was going to try to delete it, but I can't.
No problem. You could take it.
No, it's fine. It's fine. Crap. Sorry, I lost my train of thought whenever I was.
No worries.
Communication. If communication's got to be 100%, I tell people that if me writing that report and putting pictures in it, that's great. But it's kind of like texting somebody you don't know.
Right.
You know, if you don't know that person, you don't know exactly what they're trying to say when they say it. So just go ahead and call me and you can hear the tone of my voice, because that's the important thing. If you know the severity of the issue, and that's one thing I love about, one of the many things I love about this program, is how we can do the severity level on the report. You know, you've got your maintenance items, you've got your recommendations, and then you've got your safety issues. And I've tweaked mine a little bit to say a little bit different. You know, if it's something I think needs to be fixed, I put it in red. If it's just a note, hey, you've got drywall flaws and you got a door that needs paint and stuff like that, I'll put it under blue, you know. But if it's something you need to monitor, I'll put it under orange. But I think that helps a lot in writing the report, because they can kind of see where your mindset is. I also have got a deal in my information where it tells them, you know, it doesn't matter what I think, it matters what you think. And you need to read the whole report. And if I called something severe, you know, you need to get this taken care of right away, and you don't think that's the case, then it's your opinion that matters. It's not my opinion. I'm just here to tell you what's wrong with your house, you know, what can potentially be a problem in the future. So you tend to that however you want.
yep. All right. Switching gears here. Let's talk about Trek. So I know everyone has an opinion on the form 7.5, 7-5. I liked being at the conference down there because Trek was there. I spoke to Tony Slagle, great guy. We had a great conversation. Yeah. Hopefully we'll get him on the podcast. But I was blown away at how specific inspectors were telling us these little details needed to be on that form. It blew me away that the font, you know, italics, you know, mattered. I understand why. But tell me your thoughts just in general on kind of the need for that specific form and kind of the regulations around it.
Well, I'm one of those people that has that opinion. I think some of that stuff is as silly as it can be. I think that, is it 11 or 12 point? I can't remember for sure what they say that it has to be. I think isn't it 11 point that it has to be?
It's a good question.
I understand it because I understand making a designation on the font size, because you can read it. You know, you don't have to blow the report up to be able to read it. But I mean, my own honest opinion is that I think that they take things a little bit too far. But with the font size and the italics and stuff like that, I feel like that it does cut down on people trying to, realtors want to see a small report. Mm-hmm. A lot of realtors want to see a report that's 15 pages long.
Right. And
I've never tried to generate a report on Spectora that's blank, but my old reporting software, I couldn't generate a report that was 20 pages long blank, you know, without anything in it. So, but they like that small report. They like those checkbox reports because there are some realtors that are not as motivated as others,
mm-hmm.
and don't want to go through and read the report. They want to just get the highlights. It keeps some of these inspectors from reducing their font size down and making their report smaller.
Interesting.
You know, I think that's what it amounts to. You can reduce your font size, your report smaller, but then you got to blow it up to read it, or you got to read it under a magnifying glass. And so that's why they have I'm not 100%, but I believe that that's why they have the requirement for the font size.
Okay.
We do in Texas, we have a great form. I think that there's some things that I would change about it, but I do think that, in the big scheme of things, I've seen some, reports from other states, and I think that Texas requirements on their SOP and, the way that we write our reports, I've been honed into thinking that this is the way a report's supposed to read, because that's what I've known since I've been inspecting. But I do feel like that our reports, the way that they have our reports positioned, it's easier to read than if you read a national report. But that's my own personal opinion, and I'm used to seeing a Texas report. So that's what it makes sense to me because that's what I report on.
I can confirm that, having seen PDFs from every other state. I agree, and I've never thought about this, but you're right. That format, constraining it to that, does make it smaller and easier to read than traditional PDFs. So there is something to that.
And everybody in Texas has to report the same way. So if you get a report from JoJo down the street and then you get a report from me, you're going to get the same format. So you may not get the same report, but you're going to get the same report format. So it's, you know, what's where, you know, instead of having to jump around, okay, where's the bedrooms at? You know, where's the living room? Cause that's one thing that I've got a cousin that is an inspector in Oklahoma, and he sent me a couple of his reports, and I'm like, how come this jumps around so much? And it's just because that's how he does his report. And the guy down the street from him may do his report totally opposite. He may start on the inside and go out. That guy may start on the outside and go in, or maybe all over the place. And there's nobody saying that they can't do that. They just do it how they want to. Whereas with Trek, we've got to follow structural systems, electrical systems, you know, so on and so forth. We've got to put it all in the right position. And it all reads, that everybody's report reads the same.
You know, and I fully understand and respect the spirit of, you know, that uniformity, and it makes total sense. I questioned it when I would hear guys saying, oh, they'll bust you for one character being off, and they'll fine you for every report going back to the beginning of time. And then it was comforting in a way to talk to John Slagle at the Trek, or at the Tapria conference, because he kind of just said, you know, we're not out to bust people like that. You know, we work with inspectors, and that's why I want to get him on the podcast, because it sounds like there's some work to be done on inspector perception of Trek, because what he told me versus what inspectors tell me are kind of different, you know?
I agree. I tell you what, I agree with that, because what we hear is, you know, this guy got busted for not putting in temperature differential. And he got a $1,500 fine, and you're like, oh my God.
Jeez.
You know, you're sitting there thinking, what in the world? Well, here's how it is presented to us is this guy got busted for this. You need to be careful. But what we don't know is, and I think I speak for pretty much every inspector in Texas. What we don't know is how many times did he make a mistake to get in trouble? Did he just get in trouble the first time he made a mistake? Because that's what we're being told, is that they're getting in trouble because they made a mistake the first time. And what I would really like to find out, and I haven't taken the time to, and I should and will here in the future, but is how many times did that inspector mess up to get into a position where he did, you know, to get into a position to be fined?
Yeah.
Is it the first time? Because if it's the first time, I should have ulcers. You know, because you never know.
Right.
You never know what you're not going to say. You think that you've covered everything. And I go through and I read my reports before I send them out and stuff like that. But you never know. You never know what you're going to miss, you know? And is it, I mean, the first time, am I going to get fined where I'm going to have to take out a loan just so I can pay the fine so I can continue doing business? You know?
Yeah.
I mean, it is scary. And that's what they tell you in these classes. That's what I was saying about these classes, thinking, oh my goodness, what have I done? Because that's how they present it to you. You know, if you screw up at all, you're gonna be in big trouble. And so, I mean, it's just nerve-wracking. It's nerve-wracking, and I really don't think that we're getting the full context of how Trek works. But I do know that, we have a lot of, there's a lot of realtors out there that will say, be easy on me. And what I want to tell the new inspectors is, if you're going to get into this business, you need to do things how you would want them done for you, as I said before. But you need to understand that just because the realtor wants you to be easy on them does not mean that that's what you need to do. What you need to do is talk for those walls in that house. If walls could talk, walls can't talk, but you can. And that's what you need to do. You need to go in there, talk for those walls, let everybody know what's going on with that house, and don't cut any corners. Do it like you're writing your report for a lawyer. Just remember that. When you write a report, you write it for the lawyer, because if something was to happen, that too is going to. And so if you just keep that in mind and do the things that you're supposed to do, everything's going to be just fine for you. But if you go in there and you try to please the realtor just so you can get the next job, you know, you may be rocking and rolling for 2 or 3 years, and then things will catch up with you, and then you're going to be in trouble.
Yeah.
So always do things the way you're supposed to do them.
And not to mention a much more stressful existence for those couple of years of just trying to duck and dodge and please, as opposed to just being honest and doing your job. So yeah, absolutely.
Amen to that. That's exactly right.
Well, Trek, if you're listening, get back to me. Let's get someone on the podcast. We can clear some stuff up. Let's get onto some fun stuff. So when you're not inspecting, when you're not inspecting homes or meeting with agents, what are you doing? What do you do in your off time?
I am running around going to baseball games, for my nine, or he's 10. I said my 9 year old, but my 10 year old is, playing ball. So we're doing that. My 6 year old daughter is playing fiddle.
Nice.
That's what she said. Playing fiddle. So she's going to violin lessons a lot. And so she likes to pick around on that thing and do her lessons every day. And so I get to listen to that. And I just thank God she's not playing the clarinet, you know. I try to catch up around the house. I do catch myself. One of the worst things about me is I do catch myself doing, looking at InterNACHI classes and stuff like that on the weekends. And my wife's like, "Are you gonna stop working?" But it's just one of those things, you know. I mean, you get interested in it. If you love it, you love it. And if you don't, well, I mean, you got other things to do. And I should do other things than look at those InterNACHI deals on the weekends. But hey, it's kind of fun,
you know. And sometimes that growth mentality is hard to stop. It's what's made you who you are to this day. And so, you know, I did a podcast that'll probably be out by the time this one comes out with Joey Donofrio out of Virginia, and he's big on growth mindset and always looking for ways to improve. And while our spouses may not always love it, it's kind of what drives us and pushes us to be better, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And you know, you can. You can only be the best that you can be.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you're the person that's going to decide how good you are.
Yeah.
So you've got to go with that. You know, if you want to take a class on the weekend, get a new certification. I mean, that's good. It's good for business. It's good for your mindset. Hey, I know about that. You know, you can. It's just one of those things where if you let that slip by, I mean, you got to make time for your family. You definitely got to make time for your family. And I'm probably not as good at that as I should be.
Join the club, right? Join the club.
Yeah. Yeah. But when you're trying to run a business, it's like, that's the forefront of your brain. You know, you've got to go with that.
Sure.
So do the best you can with it.
My wife would agree. Yeah, they get it, you know. Now I save the most important question for last. Tell me about the legendary mustache. And I say legendary because we give your mustache props here at the Spectora offices for those, you know, for our team that went out and saw it. It's the best mustache I've seen in the industry for sure. Is there a story behind it, or is it just a damn good mustache?
Well, My granddad had a handlebar mustache when I was a kid, and I thought it was neat. And I actually did an inspection for a guy who had a handlebar mustache, and I thought, that is such a cool mustache. I said, if I could grow a mustache, I would have a mustache just like that. So last winter, I grew a beard. And it wasn't one of those big Duck Dynasty beards, but it was, you know, I mean, I did have a beard. Well, I shaved it off and shaved the mustache, and I thought, I think I'm going to let this thing grow. So I let it grow, and my daughter, my 20-year-old daughter, hates it. Oh, my gosh. As soon as I could get it to curl, she's like, "That is so ugly. You need to shave that thing off your face. It's terrible." And I was like, "It is on now." So I've had it ever since. And she asked me every time she calls me, she says, "Dad, do you still have that ugly mustache?" And I said, "Yes, I do." And I said, I've gotten more compliments on it than I have aggravation from you. I need to find a good barber who knows something about mustaches and learn a little bit about keeping this thing up, because it's scary when you go to shave and you're like, "Am I going to shave part of my mustache off?"
One wrong move.
That's exactly right. One wrong move. And you got to wait 6 months for it to get back to the state it
was. Well, tell your daughter, I respectfully disagree with her. It's got to stay, and make sure to send me a picture of it so we can make it we can put it on the album cover for this episode. Get your mustache.
All right, man. I will sure do it.
John, it's been great chatting with you. Is there anything else you want to put out into the world? Anything you wish I would have asked you? Any parting thoughts?
Well, I just want to say that I wish the people that are getting into this industry, I wish them the best of luck. Stick with it. Try your best to stick with it for the 3 years. I'm telling you, it made a difference in my life. I will say this too. If you have a job, if you have a normal job, if you're like me and you're the one that has the job and your wife is raising kids or whatever, it would be best to start out with, it'd be best to start out on the weekends. Do this on the weekends, build a relationship with realtors. Make sure you can pay your mortgage, you know, make sure you can pay your rent, and then gradually get out there and get it. Because if you don't, you may find yourself in the deal of trying to please the realtor. And you don't want that. You don't want that hanging over your head. You want to just do your job and everybody be happy with the job that you do. So be true to yourself. Be true to your clients. Do things as you would have them done to you. And you'll succeed. I strongly believe that. That's how I've done my business. And if you want to have a multi-inspector firm, fantastic. I'm not sure that a big firm is for me. But I think that if you get out there and you learn it and you can get a good bearing on how you want things done, then you can teach your new guys how to do the things that you want them to do. And just remember that they're going to do things their way. They're going to try to follow your way, but they're also going to have other ideas. So be patient and let it go. You know, learn how to let it roll off your back, because it's kind of hard sometimes. But anyway, I wish everybody luck. And if you don't use Spectora, give them a shot, because it is it's changed my life. Given me more of my life back. Given me time to go to baseball practice. Go to baseball games.
You know. Man, we love hearing that. We really appreciate you. He is not paid to say that. So we really appreciate hearing that. That's why we got in the business. That's what we like hearing. So thank you so much, John. You've kicked a great amount of knowledge. This one's going to be great. So I look forward to getting this out there.
Well, I appreciate it, man. And I know I'm not the best interviewee in the world, but I had a good time doing it. And again, if anybody out there wants to get in contact with me, feel free to send me a message on Facebook. I will help you in any way that I can. And if I don't know an answer, I will find it out. And you'll be helping me. You'll be helping me, because I'm finding out something I didn't know.
I love it. There it is. Thanks, John. We appreciate it, man. All right. We'll be talking to you real soon.
All right, buddy. Thank you.
All right.